But please be in prayer for those believers. For those believers in Hot Springs. And I'll go up there early tomorrow morning. And so please be in prayer for them. I travel. All these things. So, and then all of our prayer requests last night. Prayer for each other. Those that are in the warfare. Be in prayer. And all these things. Let's get ready for. Yes. Yes. Give us a report.
Okay.
Is it about the Longhorns or about the brother? A fantastic solution. Don't stop praying, because God is still working in his life, and he needs direction, and where God's going to stand and be in that respect. So please be in prayer. Talk to John Hintz and told him that we had some prayer time last night for him, and the multitude of things going on in that man's life. It's changed his whole summer plan, so it looks like he will not be able to come down and visit with us, but he'll be in prayer. His son that's in at the rehab center, 14-year-old, is doing okay. And the daughter is, it's interesting about the daughter. Years ago I did, for one of our graduation specials, I did in our speaking in regard to so often what happens is with children that are reared in a Christian home, and they get into college or get older, they do not have, and of course now have a greater insight as to what's going on in regard to the spiritual life, but they do not have an enthusiasm, and they hear somebody that really just accepts Christ as Savior, and they're like Christ said, they're hot. You're neither hot nor cold. Hot is a believer that is responding to the spiritual life and dynamic. The cold is an unbeliever who Christ has come to seek. And then the lukewarm is a believer who isn't even in it. So his daughter has met a little girl, another little girl, and that girl is just really excited about a relationship with the Lord. And it's sort of put John's daughter against the wall because she knows that much more than this other little girl, but this other little girl has that much more love in reference to Christ than she does. And it's John said it's sort of funny. He said, I kind of think I wish my daughter was the one causing others to want to love the Lord, but she doesn't. So he's so happy that somebody else loves the Lord and that is having that impact on her. So it's a battle. And I told you about the other son, that all of the great service he did for his country, things that I'm not even at liberty to talk about beyond even the call of duty. As I told you, he's a sharpshooter, and sent all over the world. He's sent out for 6 months, 3 months, 2 months, and that's it. And then comes back, and they have a little area where they keep these men either in the Orient, in Europe, and America, in South America. And it's just sort of like even though they're on a base, nobody messes with them. And as I told you, the suicide rate's high in the unit, in the 4th Recon unit that they're in. And all of that, and now he's up for court-martial. So John's going through his battle, John and Judy, and the children. But John is our friend in the ministry here, and and going through the battle. So please be in prayer. Continue to be in prayer for him. He's getting just all these things going on. Rod Becker moving up. He's going to come through. I don't know. I'm leaving tomorrow and Saturday. He's either going to come in somewhere between tomorrow and Tuesday. So if it's Sunday, then he'll be here maybe, and not whenever. But be in prayer for him as he makes his move to Kansas City. And again, let's be in prayer for each other. Well, let's prepare ourselves for our study. It's so important that we see the things that we're in the midst of looking at in regard to spiritual love, our loving as Christ loves. So let's prepare ourselves that the Spirit can teach us to reveal these things to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to open up the Scriptures and to see these things, these truths. It is intimidating, Father, because on the first hand we know that we cannot do these things. But that is relieved and removed when we understand that you have given us your Spirit, that these things may be a reality in our lives. Father, we pray that your Spirit will now lead us as we continue in our study and see these things, that they might become a reality, that we might see them, have a hope of these things, and then see these things start occurring in our lives, in our marriages, in our relationships, the assembly at work, every area of our being. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen. Last night, we spent some time on sin, and John said, I write these things that you do not sin. Sin is one of the big deterrents in regard to living the spiritual life, and therefore we're spending some time in the work of the Holy Spirit in regard to encouragement not to sin. But Paul and Christ himself dealt with probably more than sin, dealt with the other great enemy, and that is legalism, and where people try to control other believers and get them molded. The Puritans were very hot on this. All legalists do this kind of thing. They're very hot on controlling people and setting up. That's why Christ called them a whitewashed tombstone, because it's not by the power of the Spirit. But if you looked and you said, okay, this is what is demanded by God, and they're not doing it, so they must be doing it right. No, they're whitewashed tombstone because it's in the power of the flesh, not in the power of the Spirit. And Paul deals a great deal with the area of control by the legalists. Now, what the problem is that we see a lot of things. This is where you deal with Isaiah 28, do and do, do and do. A rule here and a rule there, little here and little there. And this is what the word will become to them, that they may go and stumble, fall backward, and be taken snared. People see the do's and the do's and all these, yeah, but the Bible says you do this, and the Bible says you do that. So we're right back at the obedience issue. What is the obedience that God is looking for? The obedience that God is looking for is our faith. Then there is an obedience that comes from that obedience of faith, and that is the type of thing we're looking at in our study. So we're going to look, and we're looking at things that involve one another in the Christian life. One another. And this deals with the relationship of believers. The new commandment is written to one another. The new commandment is written. The new commandment is written to believers in their relationship with each other. So this is the issue, and it becomes very important in our relationship in regard to one another. And we have taken a look, one, pretty soon I'll have more, way more than I could put on here, but right now, one, we are to love one another. And then we saw the condition, as Jesus Christ loved you. So there's a format, there's a love that we're going to have to look at, not just anything I want it to be. Then secondly, and we spent some time on that, I'm not going to go through each time all of these things. And then secondly, the second one, and for this one we started with the book of Galatians. What I decided to do I spent some time, possibly a whole day, trying to put these in some kind of order. And it got cumbersome, and you'll see why. So what I decided to do was scratch that, and I wish I had done it right at the beginning. I'd have saved almost three quarters of a day. Just do it by book. And Galatians is the first book written by Paul, probably the first book written for the church. And so in Galatians we have our second one, and the second one is that we are to serve one another. And we are to serve in the physical realm, we are to serve in the spiritual realm. If we serve the Lord, we're going to serve one another. And again, I like to remind you on this one, if you ever want to know what that's like, just take a picture in your mind of Jesus Christ washing the feet of the disciples. That's a servant. And that's what he did. So these things will not exalt you, they will humiliate you, because most of us want to be the served rather than to serve. But we are in the spirit-filled life, we are to serve one another, and this is going to be the indication that we belong to Christ. Then the third one comes out of Galatians, and that is we are to bear one another's burdens. And you will recall, very important with this one, it is related to the burdens of sin. In other words, and we are to do this in gentleness so as to fulfill the law of Christ. These have various little conditions with them. He says in Galatians chapter 5, serve one another in love, spiritual love. Going back to the first one, bear one another's burdens in gentleness, not in judgment. Therefore, fulfill the law of Christ. And remember that the burdens here are the burdens that are related to what a person receives because they've been in sin. When you get in sin, there's going to be burdens. What most Christians like to do is say, you deserve it. That's the consequences of your sin, and you got to pay. It's not what you find in Scripture. Scripture says, help another believer with the burdens, even the burdens, or especially the burdens of sin, so that they can get back into the spirit-filled life. So we spent some time on that one. Then the fourth one, we started the book of Romans here, and we're going to spend some time in the book of Romans. It has several of these. The book of Romans, honey, why don't you come sit right up here for me? Come sit up here. That'll be good. Why don't you sit right here? That fellow sit with me. Thank you. All right. The fourth one comes out of the book of Romans, and that is to recognize that we are members of one another. So here we are, recognize that we are members of one another. Now this is very important, because on the surface, it seems like if I recognize that I'm a member of one another, and by the way, this one's condition is in Jesus Christ, one another in Christ, that's all. That I can even mouth treat another believer and say, yeah, I recognize their members in Christ. No. The context that we studied in all of it, but in this one, the recognizing that we are members of one another in Romans 12:5, is that this is going to have a change in how I deal with that person, especially in difficult times. Especially in difficult times when they have hurt. See? So this is something that's going to have an impact as far as your life is concerned. The fifth one, be devoted. Be devoted to one another. Now, being devoted to one another, and it's in spiritual love again, a lot of these have a condition that goes with them. Be devoted to one another. And we are to serve one another. Recognize, to be devoted to someone, you have to constantly be aware of their needs and meet their needs, their spiritual needs. Meet those needs that will enhance their relationship with the Lord. Then, the sixth one was to give preference. Give preference to one another. But, very important in this one is the condition. In an honorable manner. So you give them preference, but you give it in an honorable manner. Not in some arrogance or sarcasm, but in an honorable manner. We spent some time there. The seventh one, think the same toward one another. think the same. Now, again, toward one another. Again, the issue here, and this one was in Romans 12:16. The issue here is, once again, this thought in the passage in Romans 12, this attitude is going to have an influence on how we deal and treat one another. Then we noted, though it's not, it belongs up here with love one another, but we're going through the book of Romans, and I just couldn't refuse to stop at 13:8. Owe nothing to one another except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor fulfills the law. And that brought us then to the one that we're in the midst of looking at and didn't have time to finish last week, so we'll start here, and that is the eighth one. The eighth one now, and that is we are to build up one another. We are to build up one another, not tear down. Now, I'm going to take the build up. Let's go over here. We are to build up one another. The word to build up, edify. It is amazing how many believers hurt other believers. It is just amazing the way the believers will hurt each other in the way they talk to them and the way they deal with them. Husbands, wives, parents to children, husbands to wives, wives to husbands, family, church, work. It is amazing how the way that Christians will talk and put each other down. Let's get to the passage on this. Open to Romans 14:19. Let's open the scriptures and start looking at these things now in the scriptures. Romans. Look with me at Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. That's as far as we've gotten in this, so let's take a look. Romans chapter 14. Okay, Romans chapter 14. And we are looking at verse 19. Romans 14:19. So let's take a look at it, because this is where we left off. Romans 14:19. Let me see that Bible right there. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Okay. Romans 14:19. So then, let us pursue the things which make for peace and building up of one another. Last week we got to look at some things about pursuing and what we are to pursue and how we pursue, things that we pursue in the power of the Holy Spirit, and spend some time in that respect. And main thing I want you to go, and this is where we left off now, to build up one another, to deal with one another. And in doing this, I want to point out, first of all, very important here is not only are we to avoid, not only are we to avoid hurting another believer, that's one thing. That's not what we have here. This is one thing, and by this we do it by sin, thoughtlessness, arrogance, self-righteousness, a lot of things here. But this is more, this adds to that. This is a positive. This is like a negative. This is like a negative. Not only are we to avoid, but we are actually to pursue. We are actually to do the things, say the things that will actually build up the other person. So this isn't a matter of refraining. This is a matter of doing. This is very important. Well, they ought to be glad I didn't pop them. They ought to be glad I didn't do this or that. No, people, that's here. This is far beyond that. This is where the kindness, the long suffering is here, and that controls you, but and so that you do not seek revenge. But what the other person gets is kindness. The second great force of spiritual love in 1 Corinthians 13. Here we are to do something that will build them up. We're to pursue those things that build them up. So not sinning, this is a negative concept. But here we are to seek that which is going to build up the other believer. So first it's building up. What does it deal with? The first of all, this building up, it's edifying, is first of all in the spiritual realm. What we're to do, people, in regard to building the other believer up, is do all that we can so that they can enter, I'll put the word enter because they might be in sin, enter the Spirit-filled life, and then remain living in the Spirit-filled life. And we do those things that will edify this. We studied already, knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. What did we see that meant? Okay, first of all, when it said that spiritual love edifies, and this is the same word that we have for build up. It's the same word in our passage, the same Greek word. Spiritual love edifies. Okay, now, first of all, spiritual love edifies you. It keeps you in the Spirit-filled life. You don't react and get out. You don't react and become angry at them, at God, or whatever. Secondly, because you remain in the Spirit-filled life, it edifies the other believer by making it very possible, very easy, with saving faith and all that type of thing that legalists don't want you to do, but the believer of the Spirit-filled life wants to save faith and make it as easy as they can for you, this other believer, to get back into the Spirit-filled life. And then third, what's left now? It edifies the relationship. It edifies the relationship with each other. Your relationship, whatever it may be, husband, wife, church, work, whatever it is. It edifies the two of you. First, you're edified with the Lord through the Holy Spirit. Then you're ready to be edified in your own personal relationship. So, first thing that we do in building up the other believer is their spirit-filled life. Building up now involves a lot of things, but I want to zero in on two. It involves a lot of things. First of all, building up the other believer involves words. It's amazing how believers hurt each other with words. Dirty words, violent, demanding control, put down, all these types of things. It's not building up. In a moment, we're going to summarize a lot of this. And what we need to do is what I'm about to say to this believer, my husband, my wife, friend, church, relative, children, whatever, is it going to edify, build them up, or is it going to slam dunk them? Is it going to be a put down? Is it going to hurt them? Insensitive believer isn't going to care. Insensitive believer is not walking in the Spirit. Because a believer walking in the Spirit, it's going to build up every believer. So we do this in words and in action. So words and action are involved here. Is what I'm about to say, is it going to hurt them? It seems so. Sometimes it doesn't seem important to us. Think about it. Hear it from their ear. And then a lot of times, right out front. It's a horrible, controlling, edifying. It just serves you. It has nothing to do with edifying them. It just serves you and your purpose and your goal. Spiritual life is different, people. Spiritual life says edify the other believer. Build deep. Pursue those things that build up in word or in action. If you are spirit-filled, guided by the Spirit, you are going to say and do those things that build up another believer. And this becomes very important. Therefore, everything that we're going to say. Look at 1 John with me. Let's see the principle. Not the same words in our passage, but I think you'll note why we're turning there. Look at 1 John with me, chapter 3. In both word and action here, just to get a feel of what we're talking about. In 1 John chapter 3, one of my favorite verses in the New Testament now for the unbeliever is John 3:16. My favorite verse for the believer is 1 John 3:16, but most difficult to do. We know love by this, not by definition. We know love by action. That he laid down his life for us. Hooray, hooray. That's wonderful. And from that, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, the point is, he laid down his life for us when we were his enemies. We are to lay down our lives. If that's what it takes to bring another believer back into the spirit-filled life, are you ready to do that? Most believers want to lay that person's life down. I don't want to lay my life down. I want to lay their life down. Christ laid his life down to edify us, to reconcile us with God. So, but that's, I just threw that in. That's free. Now, look at verse 18. 1 John 3:18. But whoever has the world, verse 18. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. Truth is the spirit-filled life. Let's just get a flow of the whole passage. 1 John 3:16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, what does that mean? Closes his heart against him in context, ignore his need. It's better to ignore. It's better to walk on the other side of the road. See, the Good Samaritan. So here's the guy that needs the help. It's much better to walk way over here and be looking up here as you walk by. Because then you don't have to look. And then when you get over there, talk about how great a Christian you are. Talk about how wonderful you are. It doesn't work that way. Let's take a look at what he says. All right, verse 17. But whoever has the world's good sees his brother in need, closes his heart against him. But how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with our word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. Therefore, if you're walking in the spirit-filled life by faith, people, you're going to perceive those things that build up. But again, the obedience is the obedience of faith, and it will manifest itself. But when you are walking, see, what we could do here is we get into a program. I have 20 ways in which we can build each other up. 20 ways for the husband to build up the wife, and then we could go, let's go for 50. I come up with 50 ways for the husband to build up the wife to build up the husband, parents to build up the children, children to build up the parents, friends to build up each other at work, believers to build up each other at church, and just keep doing this thing. And get them all out. And that's what most Christians, that would be very successful. Christians like that. So now I can work on this. All right, honey, let me see now. And then they'll go down my list. Now I've got the control. We need to do, people. If you're walking by faith, directed toward God the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit is going to manifest through you. You will see this start happening, that you will start building up other believers, one another. This is just back. All of these get back to this thing called hope, the hope of righteousness, the hope of love. Every one of these become a hope. In other words, people, we do have this responsibility, all these responsibilities we have to one another. But we're not going to get into any kind of control thing in having this done, because I trust His Spirit. And the only thing I can exhort you to do is to walk in the Spirit. Why are these things here then? These things are here so that you and I can be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit, and know all of these that we're on the eighth one. Love one another, serve one another, bear one another's burdens, recognize members, be devoted, give preference, think the same thing, build up one another. All of these things, people, are given. Just like everything that we studied with spiritual love. This is very important to me. But I'm getting ready to go through, take a moment and go through with you. Why do we have all the things given to us at 1 Corinthians 13 in regard to what spiritual love is? One, so that I will know the love that God expects from me, that God demands. I put the word demand. See, that I know it now. It's in Scripture. I know it. Second thing is, then I know, when I look at those things, I can't do that. I can't do all of these things. Sometimes I don't want to, especially if it hurts me. It's not even a matter of I can't. I don't want to. They don't deserve it. Serve that person. Give preference.
help them bear the burden of their sin? Are you kidding? Don't want to. So, I can, and I could even add sometimes, don't want to. Three, so that I will go to His power. And that power is God, the Holy Spirit, and allow Him to do them. Allow Him to do it. And this is the area where we have hope. The hope of righteousness. We walk in the Spirit. Paul said, have the hope of righteousness. I hope this righteousness will come. I tried to do it. Romans chapter 7, fell flat on my face, found out what a wretched man I am. To walk in the Spirit, so I have the hope of it. The hope of spiritual love. Seeing it start happening in my life. And then four, once I start seeing these things actually flow from me, I start seeing them. I know what to look for. I know what to look for. I know what goal looks like now. I've got it described in 1 Corinthians 13. So I'm seeing it. I know what to look for coming through in my life. And what's the fifth one? This one now I'm ready to go to thanks, giving, and praise. You know why a lot of believers in the church aren't into a praise concept other than some kind of hopey stuff? It's because they don't have this hope here and then see it actually happen. When you start seeing it actually happen, you give Him the glory. Wow. That isn't the way I'd have done that. The old me wouldn't have done that. I would have tried to control. I would have belittled. I would have done this. I'd have gotten even. But all of a sudden, I start seeing that and all of these other things start happening in my life. I know what to look for. That's why they're given there. Not so that you and I can make a list and start controlling each other, but so that you and I can start seeing what is it that the Holy Spirit does expect to work and through me as far as this life is concerned. So, now obedience is the obedience of faith, and then there is an obedience that comes from that faith, and that's so far these eight things that we are looking at. Word and action toward them, in regard to them. All right, let's take a run. Romans chapter 15. Look at Romans 15, 2. We're just going to do a little Bible drill here. Look at Romans chapter 15, verse 2. And what I want to do here is take the one another passage that we've looked at in Romans 14, 19. So then let us pursue those things that make for peace and the building up of one another. Pursue the things that build up for one another. We're looking at that one because it has our key words, one another. That's why we're looking at it. But this thing is all through messages to the church. Romans 15:2. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to his edification. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:9. 1 Corinthians 3:9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. God's building on you, and we are to pursue those things and actions toward the building up of another person. In other words, God working through you to build up another believer. How does God build up a believer? Bible doctrine, yes. Absolutely. Is that the only thing? Absolutely not. It is one. But it's not the only thing. And here we have it. A believer actually is part of the building up of another believer. I don't have that responsibility. People, it's in Scripture. Yes, we do. I'm sorry. One thing about these lists. Remember we studied the four major lists? You get into your list, one of the most dynamic things is missing in the list, and that is one another. Everything is me. If you are in the moral righteous list, it's me, my moral righteousness that I can judge others by. If you are in the learning doctrine list, it's me, my getting my doctrine. If you are in the service list, it's what I do. It's not the building up of another believer so much as it is my work, my getting to do it. So we have the various lists. If it's an emotional list, it's my emotional response to God. My charismatic experience, me, don't find it in Scripture. In Scripture, it's one another. What's the whole thing with the love? One another.
one another. What about me? You and I have the privilege of suffering for his benefit. And if you do these things, you will suffer. All right, 1 Corinthians 8:1. Let's look at 1 Corinthians, go from chapter 3 to chapter 8, verse 1. Now concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. And by that, it's a little slam. Everybody has knowledge. You have knowledge that you can eat, and you have knowledge that you can't eat. We all have knowledge, and we're going to get into trouble. Look at the second part here. He says, knowledge makes you arrogant, but love edifies, builds up. Builds up each other, builds up the believer first, and then each other in the relationship. 1 Corinthians 10. We'll go over a few chapters to chapter 10, verse 23. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for us, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Not all things edify. Okay. Again, the same principle taught. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. Over a few more chapters. Chapter 12. So also, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the church. Oh, I want this gift, and I want that gift. People, the thing about gifts, spiritual gifts, knowledge of doctrine, service, moral righteousness, even my emotional experience with God, which is important. I've been not putting down any of these because they're all results of the spiritual life. But when they are your list, that those are the things you're pursuing. People, those are all good because what do? They put you at the front. We all like to be around somebody who has knowledge. While we might be a little intimidated, somebody that has moral righteousness, especially if it's in the spirit, person that is in mold, and that puts him in front of for his group. Everybody's in front of their group. If your group is in the knowledge, and the more knowledge you have, you're up front. If your group is emotional experience, the more emotional you can get, you're up front. The person, if they have righteousness, is theirs, the more righteous you are, you're up front. And the more, all these service, and you're up front. People's spiritual love will often humiliate you. That's why it's not pursued. That's why this whole thing's going on in Corinth. I want those things that are going to make me look good. I want those things that I can stand out. People understand something about love and why it's not pursued. It will often make you look foolish and weak. How did Christ look hanging on a cross? Foolish and weak. How did Christ look? Down on the floor, washing these 12 men's feet. He looked weak like a servant. Not necessarily foolish, but just weak like a servant. That's why it's not pursued. I want to be John Wayne Christian. I want to be out front. I don't want to serve. I want to be served. Look what again, what it says here. Talking with him now in chapter 14. So also, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, you're all looking, and boy, you're zealous. You want these gifts. Seek to abound for the edification of the church. You're here to serve one another. Spiritual gifts are given people so that you can serve others. You understand that? They're not just, but I have a gift as pastor teacher. It's not for me. My gift is not for me. My gift is for you. And each of you have a gift, and it's not for you. It's for all of us. It's for me and everyone else here, whatever your spiritual gift is. It's not for you and I get to exalt, I've got all this authority and I'm the big shot. No. I've been given this gift for your edification. And you've been given a gift for my edification and for each other's edification. Okay, let's move on from that one. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 10. Let's look at this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to look at verse 8. For even if I should boast somewhat further about our authority, which the Lord gave for the building you up and not for destroying you, I shall not be put to shame. Even the pastor teachers job, even his authority, people, is not there to rule over and hurt, tear down one another. It's there to build up the assembly in Christ. All right, look at 2 Corinthians 13. It's over three chapters. Verse 10. For this reason I am writing these things while absent, in order that when present I may not use severity in accordance with the authority which the Lord gave me, for building up and not for tearing down. We're not here to tear down. Not here to hurt. We're here to build up. All right, look at Ephesians. Great book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Note verse 16. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4:16. From whom the whole body being fitted together and held together by that which every joint supplies. You are a joint, every believer. Every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the whole body for the building up of itself in life. Must be done in life. It's just amazing how legalism... See, people, why legalism? Why does it come about? Why these control things? Because I can control what we'll call righteous morality. But loving one another, serving one another, all of these things we're doing here, that's a little different. Can't quite get a grip and control you. And that's why you'll find legalism very high on all of the righteous things, very low on all of the one another. All of the one another things going on in Scripture. All right, look at Ephesians 4:29, same chapter. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word, see, in word and action, only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. And grace here means what is needed. Okay. Again, it's just amazing the way believers talk to their husbands, their wives, children, parents, friends, others. No thought of building them up, just tearing them down to get my way. If we're walking in, if you can learn to do a difficult thing, it'll help you in being able to evaluate if am I walking in the Spirit. If you will learn to listen to what you're saying, if you will learn to listen to what's coming out of your mouth, you'll know whether you're walking in the Spirit or not. Nobody has to tell you. If what I just said edifies, if what I just said is going to build up this other believer, or is it going to tear them down? Is it going to help them get, if they're out of the Spirit of their life, is it going to help them to get back into the Spirit of their life, or is it going to really harden them and make it very difficult to get back into the Spirit of their life? Just listen to your words. It's a very powerful one in what we're studying. Ephesians 4:29, that no unwholesome word. Now, what is an unwholesome word? An unwholesome word is a word that tears down another believer, hurts them, puts them down, shames them, whatever is your goal there, from your mouth. But only coming out of your mouth such a word as is good for edification. That's our word, by the way. That's the root of our word, for building up. According to the need of the moment. What does that person need? See, people, all of this is out of love. That's why I started with love. You do love, you do all of these. But these give us a direction and a feel of how love's going to act. But here is the other believer's sin. Now, what most believers do, and they stop right here, and they start dealing with this believer's sin. Oh, look what you did. Look what you did. How horrible you are. And boy, I got to take care of that. What spiritual love does, and in this point edifying, it looks over the sin. We saw this in several passages. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love covers all transgressions, 1 Peter. Love covers all. What does it mean to cover? It means it's right over the sin and sees the need. What happened to cause that believer to sin in that way? What happened to cause my husband, my wife, my child, my friend,
another believer, whoever it may be. How can I help them get back into the spiritual life? Not deal with this. That's already been taken care of at the cross. That's all. That isn't even a problem. What I want to do is, how can I help them regain? How can I help them to be reconciled to God? That's my objective. So, what I'm going to say, what I'm going to do, is going to be to that intent, because that will build them up. Now, they're in the spirit-filled life and having a lot of problems, suffering, adversity, whatever kind. What can I do to encourage them, to build them up in their relationship with Jesus Christ? But people, to do these kind of things, you've got to be sensitive of another person. We all want to be sensitive to me. What's my need? We've got to be sensitive to the other person, not ourselves. And that's what the spirit-filled life will do. That's what Jesus Christ was in regard to us. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for the edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. Why the phrase at the need of the moment? Because people, there are truths that I might stop and could say here. What you did to sin, what you did wrong, what you did this, da 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 da, look who you hurt, look at all the bad things. People, they're out of the spirit-filled life. They're here, they are, they're walking in darkness. All of that isn't even going to matter. That's going to harden them. Are they true words? Yeah. Are they beneficial words? At the right time. Get them back into the spirit-filled life. And now we're ready to talk about, for example, in John, they denied their sins. That was a problem. In Paul, as Corinthians, what were they? They were hardened and sensitive. So once they recovered, what did verse 11 do? Verse 11 said, now let's talk about some things. Let's talk about how the Holy Spirit's going to be an encouragement to you not to sin again in that way. There may be a proper time and place for your wonderful truth here. But what's it needed at the moment? What kind of encouragement? Not belittling. Not drawing out their error of their way or whatever it is. You're not submitting. You're not using your authority right. You're not doing this. And start attacking people that put this on the defense. And you're immediately lost. What's needed right to that moment that will get them into the spiritual life, get them thinking in the realm of spiritual life, and now meaning at some point, now we can talk about some of these things when we're both on the same momentum in Christ. Now we can talk about this in a marriage. Okay. This is the way I see what happened. This is the way you see it. And talk our way through this thing. Because now we're both edified in the Spirit. And now we both can edify the relationship. But not until we get back into the Spirit for our life. This is very important. What is needed at the moment? There may be something that needs. You parents, I know, have experienced this. I'm sure every parent has experienced this. At the moment, I just need to get things under control here. When I get home, then you and I can sit down and have a talk about this. But right now, let's just get this taken care of, whatever it may be. Let's just have a good time if it's a pleasure thing in the summer. And we'll talk about this other thing later. But what is needed right now? People, to do this kind of thing, you have to constantly be on alert. Alert. That's a word used throughout the New Testament, the mystery epistles to the church, and believers don't do it very often. It's why we've got to be alert at all times, be on guard at all times. We've got to be thinking in the Holy Spirit, walking in Spirit, so that He can guide us and make us sensitive. What is needed at the moment, at that exact moment? It reminds me very much of kindness. What is kindness? What is needed right then? Kindness isn't what is needed later or before. Kindness is the key thing about the word kindness. What is needed right then? That's when people need kindness.
And that's what we're dealing with here. At that moment, what is needed to get them in the relationship with the Lord? Yeah, I want to talk to you about some other things, but not right now. You don't say this to them. What's going on in you? What I need to do right now is just get this straightened out. Get you in harmony with the Lord. And then when you're in harmony with the Lord and I'm in harmony with the Lord, now we can talk about what other things we want to talk about. But what we often do when we're having confrontation with another believer, we want it all done, and we want it all done now. We want our point made, my authority, my rights, my position, my this, my that. We're very concerned about those things, and they're not even important. But the other person has been walking in the Spirit. So what we want to do is get this done. Then we go back, and now we can work on that. So it becomes a very important thing. Enough preaching. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to open this with you because I want to show you some things here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Thessalonians are doing it right. What an unbelievable assembly. Just an absolutely unbelievable assembly of believers. And the things that they did. Look at chapter 1 just so you'll see they're doing it right. This is just an unbelievable assembly of believers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith, labor of love, steadfastness in hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of God our Father. Look at chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another, and we'll come to that as one of our deals. But you'll see why I turned to it. It isn't for that one, because that's going to be another major point. Look at the second part of the verse. And build up one another, just as you also are doing. What a fantastic thing to say. Can't wait to meet some of these believers from Thessalonica. They're doing it right. The things that are said of this group, look at chapter, 2 Thessalonians. Turn the page if you need to, and look at verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows even greater. As your faith is constant, spiritual love increases in magnitude. And that's what this church is doing. The church is absolutely phenomenal. If you turn back to that 1 Thessalonians 5, let me show you 1 Thessalonians 5. I have in my notes here, and we're running out of time to read the whole chapter, but sometime I encourage you to read the whole chapter. But let's just pick it up from our passage in verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another, build up one another, just as you are already doing. But we request you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you. That's in regard to the pastor. And have charge over you, that's the pastor teacher, in the Lord, and give you instruction. And that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. And we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all. See that no one repays another with evil for evil. If somebody does evil, it's not right to treat them in evil in return, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all. What's good for one another? Spirit-filled life, walking in harmony, back in reconciliation with God. Verse 16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for that is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. It's interesting, he doesn't say grieve, he just says quench. And quenching the Holy Spirit means that I ought to say this to a believer. I ought to encourage a believer. I ought to call a believer. I ought to do this. I ought to do that. And you say, I'm not going to do it. You just quenched him. Grieving is when you write out sin. I'm just going to sin. That's grieving. Quenching is, I'm going to have to come up with another example. But it's when a husband or a wife reaches out amorously for their spouse, and the spouse says, I don't know, get away. You just, they draw back. and you're going to sleep on the couch tonight type thing. They reach out and you quench them until they pull back. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And that's why we're out of fellowship, people, when we quench him. We can easily understand when we grieve him while we're out because we sin. But we're out of his power also when we quench him. It's like it's my example. The relationship is strained now. Just for an example, he comes home from work and she reaches out for him and whatever reason, work, his day of work, whatever. Doesn't even, I'm not even going to get into that. And he pushes her aside, she pulls back. And so now, the relationship is strained. When you and I quench the Holy Spirit, boom! And you'll know it, because he's going to start wrestling with you immediately. You can almost sense when these things happen in marital relationships if you're in tune at all. You know, you're upstairs, maybe taking a shower, and you go, wow, she just, you know, and so you go back down and reach out. So, Corinthians, verse 20, do not despise prophecy, prophetic utterances, but examine every thing carefully. What does it mean to examine carefully? As per the gospel. You have that ruler inside of you. That ruler is the gospel. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from that which is in every form of evil. And now may the Lord, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And then he goes through with the closing. And brother, pray for us in this type of thing. So it's a very powerful passage what they're doing. Let's close with this. Let's just give a summary and then we'll close tonight. Build up one another. Build up one another. Okay. Deep theology. No, people, this is not deep theology. Some real cool stuff in the Bible. No, it's not about the Behemoth. It's not about Leviathan. It's not about the Second Coming. It's not something spectacular. But it's where the church is failing. It's why the church is experiencing so many divorces, so many church splits, so many hurts, so much problem in the church. We have those cool doctrines and we all like to study them and get all excited and then go home and blow it in a relationship with husband and wife or with another believer, one another. This is at the heart. What does Christ say? By this, all will know if you're mine. Not because of your theology and believing in the rapture, believing in the coming of Christ. Oh, will you do those things? Absolutely. That's not how people are going to know you belong to him. If you love one another as I love you. No, I'd rather have knowledge. I'd rather have moral righteousness. I'd rather have service. I'd rather have something else than have to deal with this. And this is why believers maltreat one another and walk off thinking, boy, I'm really a great Christian. Boy, I'm really right with God. No, you're not. You're not even close. Because we have abundance of all of these things. So I don't mind taking the time. If this bores you, I'm sorry, because this is where you and I live. This is where you and I live every day from the moment you and I wake up, unless you, like myself, single. But the moment you come in contact with someone, maybe the phone ringing, you're single, maybe when you get in the car, whatever it is, but if you're married or have children or something, the moment you open your eyes, you're right in the middle of it. Right smack in the middle, and you know right away whether you are powered by the Spirit or not. Sometimes phone rings. What do you want? Where did that come from? I didn't even know that I wasn't in a proper relationship until I came in contact. Get in the car, pull out in the alley, somebody pulls right in front of me in the alley. Where did it come from? I didn't even know. Until what? Until I came in contact. What's spiritual love? It's a push and pull between two objects. That are two objects. I'm sitting at home all by myself. It's not two objects. And we could talk about my relationship with the Lord, but I'm talking about one another. But the very moment I come in contact with one another, at that very second, things are going to let me know. That's why I'm going to spend time here. All right, summary. We are to build up. We are to pursue those things that build up one another. So we have to ask ourselves, is what I'm getting ready to say going to build up this other believer in my home, the assembly, work, whatever, or would have caused division, hurt, tension, put them on guard, put them down, put them on the defense, put fear in them, make them afraid, make them this, make them that, or is what I'm about to say, is it going to edify? Is it going to build them up? Look at Job 19. Look at Job. If you want a little razzmatazz, look at Job, this great battle. One of the most important books in all the Bible. The umbrella of the Bible. I'll show you. Well, if what I say hurt that believer, then boy, they're just immature and not. That's the way arrogance likes to handle these problems. That's not my responsibility. They ought to be tough and handle it. Let's see what Job says. Look at Job chapter 19. Then Job responded, verse 1, "How long will you torment me and crush me with words?" Yeah, people. Fixing stones to break my bones, the names will never hurt me. That's a lie. Because you can hurt another believer with your words. How long will you crush me with words? These 10 times you have insulted me. And I wish we had time for the Hebrew, but we'll just stay with that. You have insulted me. You haven't tried to help me. You've insulted me. You are not ashamed to wrong me. This is very powerful because they think he's the one that's done the wrong, and they are the ones doing the wrong, and that's why God's about to take them out. Even if I have truly erred, my sin or my error lodges with me. In other words, you're not even helping me with that. If indeed you vaunt yourselves against me, and that's what they were doing, with the pretense of being a friend, pretense of love, but they were vaunting themselves against him, crushing him, and you prove my disgrace to me, this is what they like to do, know then that God has wronged me. Because what he's saying is that isn't the way God is going to function. So people, is what I'm getting ready to say, is it going to build this other person up, or is it going to tear them down? Secondly, ask yourself, is what I'm about to do going to build them up and edify them, or is it going to tear them down? That I'm going to say, what I'm going to do. We're thoughtless. We're not thinking of what we're doing. In order to build up one another, you have to be thinking in the power of His Spirit, whom He sent to us for this purpose. Well, I have some other things, but we'll just close with that. Close in a word of prayer. Father, in the flesh, it's our very nature, Father, to think of ourselves, to defend ourselves, sort of a self-preservation that the flesh has. Cause us to understand that the thinking of the new man is not self-preservation, because your son did not preserve himself, he sacrificed himself. It goes against the whole grain of our entire old nature. Our whole old nature is to preserve my being, whereas the nature of the new man is sacrifice my being. Even to death if I must. Shame. Humiliation. Whatever it takes. It's a battle inside of us, Father. And we just praise you for giving us the Spirit that we can do these things. That we can serve and love, edify, build up one another. Cause us to see the importance of these things in the spiritual warfare between God and Satan. In Christ's name, amen.